Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
During their stay in the city of Philippi, Paul and Silas were being plagued by a young girl who was a soothsayer, or as we'd likely term it today, a fortune teller. This woman was hired by local men who were using her affliction as a means of gaining money. These men collected the money, and the girl told the person's future, or in some way drew a salary from her masters. Well, Paul and Silas recognized that the girl's power was not of God, but of Satan. She was possessed by a demon, or a spirit of divination. After some rather trying experiences with her, we read in Acts 16, verse 18, Paul, being sore troubled, turned and said to the Spirit, I charge thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Well, realizing that any hope of future profit from the girl's power was gone, these evil masters had Paul and Silas brought into court. They brought up false and unreasonable charges to the effect that Paul and Silas had set forth customs which it was not lawful for us to receive or observe, being Romans. The two men of God were beaten with rods. They were cast into prison. Now, this series of events had set the stage for one of the most dramatic of all New Testament conversions that's to be found in the Bible. We read in Acts 16, verse 25, down through verse 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the jailer, being roused out of sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for lights, and sprang in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake the word of the Lord unto him, with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. Immediately, he brought them up into his house. He set food before them and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God. Now, this story has long been a favorite of many Bible readers. I think there are two reasons why that is true. First, the jailer's question is our question. Every individual who accepts the fact of his responsibility unto God, and every individual who realizes his own sinfulness before God needs to ask the same question that the jailer asked. What must I do to be saved? And a second reason why we love this story is that it demonstrates the availability of salvation. It proves that there is an answer to man's most urgent question. All who want to be saved can be saved through Jesus Christ. And in our study this afternoon, perhaps visualize yourself as an honest inquirer before God, like this jailer, who is anxious to be saved and receive His word concerning salvation. I'm sure that you have many questions for which you would like answers. We wonder about the economic future of our country. Can we survive the enormous national debt? Can we curb inflation? Will medical science find a cure for cancer in our lifetime? Will medical science find a cure for AIDS and many other medical problems? What will be the outcome of our military involvement in Iraq? Maybe there's another question. It may be more of a personal nature. Will I be able to provide for my children's college education? Will I be able to maintain the job that I presently have, or will there be a downsizing and my job be moved to Mexico or some other country? Can I afford to buy a house at this time? Can I afford to buy a new car? Well, there are many questions, but the question that ought to be utmost in our mind is, what must I do to be saved? This is life's most important question, because salvation is life's most urgent matter. Your soul is more precious than the 1,001 petty little things that occupy your thinking most of the time. Jesus emphasized this truth when he said in Mark 8:36-37, it's recorded, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then he asked another question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And to further show how important a consideration salvation is, we need to consider the fact that the terrors of hell are real. Hell is not a figment of man's imagination. It is a real place. The Bible describes it as a lake of fire. In a glimpse of that final judgment, John wrote, and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14-15. Sin is the transgression of God's holy law, and those who violate God's law in sin will be punished. Since God's law is the holiest of all laws, punishment for its violation must be the most terrible of all punishments. God is not angry, he's not cruel, but he's holy, and God is just. God cannot tolerate sin in his presence. Therefore, hell was created as the dwelling place for all that persist in their evil ways. It's a place of eternal torment for those who reject Christ and his salvation. And friend, your salvation is an urgent matter, because if you are lost, the terrors and the torments of hell are awaiting you. It was no easy matter for God to provide for man's salvation. He had to sacrifice his Son, his only begotten Son. And Jesus had to be willing to suffer the indignities at the hands of evil men, to be put to death in the most shameful and horrible of all possible ways. The Holy Spirit had to reveal God's will concerning man's salvation through inspired men. And since salvation has required so much on the divine side, it should not surprise us when we find that salvation is difficult from the human side as well. There are powers opposing our salvation. First, there is the world. John said in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the evil one. The world, that is mankind generally, is under Satan's influence. He's under Satan's control. He's using the world and those over whom he has power to try to lead others away from Jesus and away from salvation. Christ even calls Satan the prince of this world in John 12:31. So long as men are attached to this world over which Satan has power, they're outside God's redeeming grace. This statement is undeniably true, and it's shown in the writings of James. James says, ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or enemy with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world maketh himself an enemy of God. James 4:4. In order for man to be saved, man must renounce the world and renounce the things of the flesh and draw near to God. By inspiration, the Apostle Paul said, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. Worldly temptations appeal to our senses through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, through the pride of life. But God appeals to our spirits. He appeals to us to renounce the things of the flesh and he appeals for us to come to him. And so, friend, life's most urgent matter is salvation. And when the jailer cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" or "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" they told him to believe on the Lord, an obedient belief that led him that very night to be baptized into Christ. Life's most urgent matter is our salvation. Have you confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism so that you might be saved? Or if, as an erring child of God, have you repented and prayed God for forgiveness? Take care of life's most urgent matter. Until tomorrow, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon.